Chapter 42, Wonder of the Western Hemisphere. Chicago is the wonder of the Western Hemisphere. Mary Baker Eddy, 1883. In 1882, Bradford Sherman was visiting in Boston, where he witnessed a very impressive healing in Christian Science. He obtained a copy of Science and Health and began its study after returning home to Chicago. By the spring of 1883, he and his wife and their son Roger were all active practitioners of Christian Science healing in Chicago. They were wonderfully successful and overwhelmed with patients, so they appealed to a science friend in Boston, Mrs. Caroline D. Noyes, to come to Chicago and join them in this work. Mrs. Noyes arrived in July of 1883 and was soon as busy as they. She had heard Mrs. Eddy lecture twice, but all these Chicago healers had learned to heal from the textbook alone. None had had class instruction. Interest grew and spread rapidly as they healed and taught and sold copies of Science and Health. A large, eager, receptive audience developed in Chicago and environs, which was ready to drink in any word from Boston. Mrs. Eddy chose Clara Choate to go to Chicago to teach a class because of her experience and speaking ability. But while that young woman was vacillating between her leader's request and malicious suggestions, George Charles returned from studying Christian Science in Boston and permeated the area with Arend's mixture of metaphysics and mesmerism, together with his wicked lies about the discoverer. The situation was improved somewhat by the arrival of Caroline Noyes' friend, Miss Ellen Brown, who had recently studied with Mrs. Eddy, but the West was still in need of correct teaching. In her correspondence with Clara Choate, Mrs. Eddy wrote, quote, "Now do not sell your tickets. Wait until I say again, go," end quote. Mrs. Eddy was ever God's Minuteman, ready to follow a direction immediately, or to wait, as the case might be. Her timing was God's timing, and her students must learn the same obedience. A vision early in December seemed to be an omen for good. Vision of December 9th, Sunday morn. She saw a river, and in the river there seemed to be a black fish that swam to where she was and came out of the water and came and laid across her lap. There were a number of the students around her, and she turned to them and called their attention to the fish and told them that it was a sign of good luck. Capable, active students often caused the leader more problems than did the malpractitioners because of their failure to follow her lead and instructions. In fact, all of the students seemed more concerned with the mental malpractice of other students than with their own spiritual progress and regeneration. Clara Choate was young, eager, and successful in her work. But rather than following her leader's request, she accepted the suggestion that the other students were working against her and wanted her out of Boston. Early in December, Mrs. Eddy wrote to Clara, "No one here in this house has taken you up mentally or has any care one way or another about your going west. I see what your fits and starts will end in. Christianity is fixed. Before you ever heard of Christian Science, I had been commissioned of God to lead his children out of the darkness of today. You never can do this until your life is changed, as you well know. But Mrs. Choate was unconvinced. In the middle of that night, she wrote Mrs. Eddy that she could feel the mental pressure of the students trying to force her out of Boston, and that she definitely would not go to Chicago. Mrs. Eddy answered immediately, "The battle of the demons, they think, has been fought and you are conquered because you rose up from their night's campaign, resolved to do just what they told you. Now listen to me, the best friend you have on earth. Take back the resolve they made you form and go to Chicago and Milwaukee. Say as Luther said, quote, if there were as many devils between her and worms as tiles on my house, I would go," end quote. Will you do it? If you will not hear God's voice speaking through me, they will conquer you and kill you, just as they did Gilbert. I know it. If Mrs. Choate had been as quick to obey God's voice as was her leader, she might have been saved from her own indiscretions. But she did not go west, and events soon took a turn for the worse in her affairs. In Milwaukee, however, there was a turn for the better. In that metropolis, Dr. Silas J. Sawyer had a flourishing dental practice, but a much greater interest in the Christian Science he had learned from the Shermans and from his own study of science and health. As the confusion of Arend's teaching spread throughout the community, Dr. Sawyer and his wife contacted Mrs. Eddy in Boston, who encouraged them to attend a course at the college, which was to begin December 27th. An article in the journal for February 2nd, 1884, the first issue following the course, could very well have been written by Dr. Sawyer. It was signed, "A New Year's Student, Boston, Mass., January 10th, 1884. And read as follows. To the readers of Science and Health and the Journal of Christian Science. Dear friends, time and again, I have read the records of your success in applying the truth you have gathered from these two sources, the book and the journal. But do you ever suspect what you miss of the spirit of that word by not listening to it as it falls directly from the lips of its living and only interpreter, Mrs. Mary Eddy, the author of Science and Health, and the editor of this journal, The Science of God? Only one of all the earth hath mastered it, and only one of all the earth can teach it. Do you read over and over again a page of that deep work, Science and Health, following with eager wonder its clear, close reasoning, and then acknowledge that you do not understand it? But with her modulated, eloquent voice, her deep blue eyes, lighted by the inspiration of the subject, its interpreter would take you step by step from source to consummation, till with clasped hands and streaming eyes as understanding dawned upon you, you would cry, "My Lord and my God." How do I know? I know by experience. Some things I understand by reading the letter of their law. But the science of God, the science of Christianity, is not one of them. And I have never yet met one who, by the most careful study of her books, had the beginning even of the wisdom that shineth in the faces and accompanieth the workings of her personally taught students. If you are seeking truth, go where it is taught, to the fountainhead, to the seed of the woman, which in these latter days is bruising the head of the wily serpent error and bringing love and good home to the nations. Before the end of February, Mrs. Eddy was teaching a much larger class than she had had for many years. In the student body was a contingent from Chicago, including the three Shermans and Mrs. Noyes. When the teacher met Gideon Palmer Noyes, she told him she felt he would make a good healer and should enter the class with his wife. Mr. Noyes did not enter, for he had just engaged in business in Chicago and did not feel free to drop it so suddenly. But he returned for instruction at a later date and became a very successful healer. Chicago was saved from the enemy's slander, but it was unsatisfied. The clamor for teaching increased. As Mrs. Eddy considered all of her students, no one was qualified for the task. She finally made the decision to go herself.